The title for my sermonette today is, So You Want to Fight? Now, Mr. Michael Link and I were talking last Sabbath, and he says, well, what are you going to talk about? I'm like, well, I'm going to talk about fighting. And he's like, no way. And if you've seen the update, you know his title for his sermon. And so we're both going to be talking about fighting, but I think we'll come at it in two different ways, but it's funny how those things always seem to work out. So a few weeks back, I had a jiu-jitsu competition. Now, I've talked about this once before. This is something that I like to do. Well, I happen to be in the what they call the heavyweight division because I weigh more than 201 pounds. I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh, but it's 201 plus, so if there was a guy in there that was 300 pounds, you know, I would have had to have been against him. Anyways, this competition was in a high school basketball court. There was no air conditioning, and there was no fresh air. There was no windows. People had been fighting in there all since early in the morning, like 8 or 9 o'clock, and my fight wasn't until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you can imagine what the atmosphere in there was like. People are cheering, there's no oxygen, it's humid. It was a rough situation just to walk into and just to be a spectator. But then you have to go in and you have to go to your competition. Well, I would love to tell you that I won my competition, but I did not. I lost. I had two rounds with one man, and he was the only one in my division. So usually what happens if you'd have multiple people in your division, but he was the only one that had signed up that was, and they also break it down by age category. So anyways, there was this 6'4", 250-pound man who had, I didn't know, had 6 years of wrestling experience. You know, after that first round, which we went for about 2.5 minutes, I found it hard to want to get back in there to have to face him again, because I knew what it was like after that very first round. Knowing that I had to get back into the ring with somebody who was better than I was very challenging. It took a lot of mental strength to go back in and to be willing to subject myself again to this person. I find this idea of mental strength is something that keeps coming up in my life. And I think it's something that maybe God is trying to tell me or condition me or have me go through this to face whatever is coming. You know, the last couple months for me and my family has been full of challenges. There's a lot of unanswered questions in our lives and things that we're facing and things that we're trying to find answers to and trying to remain faithful in believing that God is there and that He is willing to help us. You know, we all know that we are going to face hard situations in our lives. That's just how it is. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, Acts 14 and 22, we read, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. This is a need that's been going on for a very long time for all Christians. And we have to realize that we are not in this fight alone. This is something that everyone is going through, and God is going to help every single person who is going through a struggle. But it's hard in the midst of a battle. It's it's hard to stay focused sometimes because all of a sudden you get zoned in into a tunnel vision almost, and everything else around you kind of fades out, and all you see is your opponent in front of you. But that doesn't mean that there's not other things going on around at the same time. After, you know, this first round of this fight, and you're sitting there resting, it's hot, you have to wear pretty much this very thick wool jackets and pants, and it's, you're, you know, if you lose, it's a mental game in your own head of like, okay, I have to go do this again. Well, one of the coaches was sitting there talking to me, giving me advice, telling me and encouraging me to go out there and just give it your best. Leave it all out on the battlefield. And this was actually really helpful. I mean, if you just had to sit there and do it on your own, it would be a hard thing. But so in sitting there cheering you on in your corner really helped. Really gave me the strength to go out and do this again, even though in the back of my mind I knew that I was probably not going to win. There's this quote that I often think about by Theodore Roosevelt, and it was a part of a speech that he gave. This is one of the men that I look forward to meeting in the kingdom. But he had this to say. I know I've used this before, but it's something that I really find useful, and I go back to this a lot. And it says, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of the deeds could have done them better. No, the credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But he who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory or defeat." Now this reminds me of God's warning to the end time church for their proclivity of being lukewarm, neither knowing victory nor defeat. We are all in this fight. We are all in our own arenas. And we are each fighting with striving in varying degrees of success with failure. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul was encouraging Timothy, a young minister. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold of eternal life, to which you also were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this command without spot and blameless unto our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords." And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8, he says, and this is Paul talking, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul was ready to fight. In fact, he was almost on fire to fight for what he believed he needed to do. And he was happy to deal with whatever the situation that he faced. And obviously God used him quite powerfully because of this attitude which he had. This attitude we find in other people as well. David, when he was going to fight Goliath, King Saul was worried because David wasn't trained for war in the proper sense of being trained. He didn't know how to move in armor. He didn't know how to use a sword properly. What about a shield, a spear, the things, the implements of war? Yet David walked into the fight ready and hungry. He wanted to get in there. He wanted to fight. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm just going to skip to verse 37. No, we'll start in 32. 1 Samuel 17, 32. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," talking about Goliath. "Your servant will go and fight against this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And it rose, when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, but this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." Anyways, we know the rest of that story and how David, trusting in God, went and did what had to be done in that situation. You know, the Goliath in our lives will take on different looks. That the hunger and the zeal and the faith should be the same as what David had in this situation. Yes, God, give me this fight. Let's take this on together and let's win. You know, as I was looking at the man that I was going to be fighting against and sizing him up, there was a lot of things going through my mind. The things that I wanted to try, the positions that I wanted to get to, and yet somehow that didn't really matter and I ended up losing. But that's okay. I wasn't hurt, neither was he. We both walked away, got up, gave each other a hug, said thanks for the fight, and kept going. As Christians, we have this opportunity almost daily, it seems. And it depends how much we want to take our fight to the enemy, how much we want to overcome. And it doesn't matter if we fall down, because we have to know that we are going to get up, repent if we need to, and get back into that fight. And that's the way we have to do it. So, are you ready to fight?